Hallelujah. Oh, we magnify you, Jesus. You're the true vine. I praise and magnify you. I glorify you, Jesus. I glorify you, Jesus. I glorify you, Jesus. I praise and magnify you as the true vine. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Everything we need.
Hallelujah, Jesus. I exalt you. I exalt you, Jesus. I exalt you, Jesus. I exalt you, Jesus. I exalt you. Hallelujah, Master. Hallelujah. Jesus, we worship you. Omala Christiato. Frende ki blaske let yo. Hom bleske de diato. Penefratiede. Ne bat yo klasi. Know that as you continue on in this walk, that your eyes will behold things that you can hardly imagine at this present time. Know as the miracles increase, the war against your senses will also increase. And you'll find the opportunity on this walk for the accuser of the brethren to come and to bring accusation not only among you but also against the walk that you're on. Know that he'll accuse even the miracles that to you did not happen and seemingly were not processed against the argument to say that this thing is not everything that it's supposed to be. But know this, that if you will turn a deaf ear, I will cause your heart to be sealed. Am I not? As I said in my word, I sent the Spirit who sealed you, saith the Spirit of grace. And I'll put a seal over your senses. And even when an argument against the walk and against the latter times stands as what would be a living proof, you'll walk past those things and take my word as the infallible proof of all things, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, I worship you. I glorify you. Hola ma Christe. En este lo crostetia. But you know this, that even at this late hour that I'm working with your loved ones, know that as long as you stand, I stand. And as long as you will not relent or take back what you've said concerning their life, I will track them to the ends of the earth, saith the Spirit of grace. And the rest that you have in me will be this, that not one that you lay on the altar, not one that you lay on the altar will find their self in eternal judgment, but they will find their place in heaven with me when it's all said and done. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. I worship you. Well, thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Isn't he wonderful? Glory. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Worship you. Great and mighty miracles. Hallelujah. We're not going to listen to the accuser. He's a liar. Thank you, Jesus. Glory. I expect this ear to be popping open as we speak. I'm serious. Hallelujah, Jesus. I glorify you. I exalt you, Jesus. I worship you. Has to go. in His presence. Jesus. Oh, Jesus. None like You. None like You. Wait on You, Jesus. We glorify You. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can get the lights. Hallelujah. Isn't it wonderful? Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory. Why don't you, without, you know, taking a half the night, why don't you just get up and give somebody a great big hug? Could you do that? Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Homer's been sharing with me. He's been really off into certain books, and I don't know which one he's going into tonight, but felt like it was a good time to kind of let him let off some steam. So I told him he didn't have to finish it all tonight, because if he's got a whole big well in there, if he thought he had to finish it all tonight, last shot, no. But would you welcome Homer? All right.
What could I possibly say surpass what's happened here in the last 20 minutes? What could you possibly say? Pastor called me at the beginning of the week, said you're probably going to be preaching. I said, okay, Pastor, you're the man, whatever you say. But honestly, I mean, God touched his sheep, healed some people. Hallelujah. That's what He's all about. That's what He's all about. I have been in Isaiah and 1 Peter, but just recently the Lord allowed me to start Philippians and Colossians. I shared a lot about Isaiah the last week or so when Pastor was gone, and it's incredible what God's Word can do to a believer if he just, like Pastor teaches, just to camp out where you're supposed to camp out at and just graze in that pasture. Drink of that, of the rivers, rather, the rivers of running water. And if you just stay there where you belong, He knows what we need. He knows what our suggested weaknesses are, or accused weaknesses from the enemy. He knows what they are. But those 39 stripes of freedom on His back did the job for us 2,000 years ago. Those 39 lashes were for me and you, spirit, soul, and body. Literally. They were for us, from A to Z. All that we needed was in those 39 stripes of freedom for me and you. And I'm still in Isaiah. I'm still in 1 Peter. But I crossed over to Philippians and Colossians and some other stuff that he's relaying to me. And I'm going to share briefly with you tonight. It's an honor to handle God's Word. It's a real honor to be in pastor's pulpit. We know that. It's an honor to be, but it's an honor to serve a living God. Let me just break it all down to you. It's just an honor to serve Jesus Christ. Point blank. We're blessed. We're blessed. I didn't tell anybody this. It happened. I was up early this morning. You know, I was speaking to Jesus this morning. I was just speaking to Him, and I don't know what time it was. I didn't look at the clock, and I didn't tell Pastor. I haven't told nobody this, but yesterday I went to Clewiston. I did, you know, I covered Moorhaven, Clewiston, Big Cypress, pretty broad area, and I got to make that trip all the way around through LaBelle and through everywhere at least once or twice a week as being in sales. And I came back through Clewiston and I went to Immokalee, and that was that. So I thought, and then last night, or early in the morning rather, I was worshiping the Lord, and almost immediately, you know, I was coming back from Clewiston in the spirit. Now in a dream I was coming back from Clewiston. This particular portion, I think it's 8:33. And I was coming back from Clewiston now. This is in a dream that I had last night. And as I was coming down 8:33 into Immokalee, I saw an almost an intimidating look, like the clouds were so black. And there was lightning and thundering over Immokalee. I mean, it was almost intimidating. Like, I go to West Texas a lot where my mom's from, and that's called Tornado Alley. Is that what that's called? Yeah. It's called Tornado Alley, and it can look real intimidating there during the rainy season. And I was coming down in my truck down 833, and in my sleep and in a vision, I don't know what it was exactly. I don't usually have that many visions or dreams. And I looked towards Immokalee, and it looked real intimidating. The sky was almost pitch dark, and lightning and thundering. A big, nasty storm was on the horizon. And I looked at it in my dream or in my sleep, and I looked at it with sort of a little bit of intimidation, not knowing. And I didn't make a comment about it, but I looked at it, and I took note of what I saw. And almost immediately, when I looked at it and I began to ponder in my dream what I was seeing, a giant lion in front of the truck just jumped. I saw him running in front of my truck, and he just jumped up in the air. And he just jumped up in the air. And I know Marty and Gay have a lot of dreams, and Pastor does, maybe afterwards. I think I know what it means. You know, I can get more clarification on it. But the big old mighty lion jumped out in front of the truck and just jumped in front of my truck, ran, and then he jumped up in the air right in the midst of that darkness. And then that was that. And towards the end of the dream, I went from 833 to, you know, Balgas, where I work, is on this side of the street. Then you have Main Street here. On the other side of Main Street, you got New Market Road. And, of course, you know it curves around. It's right down the road from us. And as I was turning in from Clewiston into Balgas, the lion beat me there. He was in the midst of the road. And I looked at him. And I went like that to him. And he crossed the road. You know, I said, get out of the way, man. I got to go to work. You know, I added that, you know. But I did look at him. I did look at him, Barbara. And as I was going to turn in from Clewiston to cross over Main Street to go to Baptist, And he just immediately crossed Main Street and began a journey down New Market Road. And I forgot to tell you that lion had a gold crown on his head. And I know that the Lord Jesus Christ is saying, I'm coming.
Hallelujah.
Because he crossed the road, went down New Market Road, and I followed him, and then he vanished.
Hallelujah.
But we know what's at the end of New Market Road, my friends. We know what's at the end of New Market Road. And I don't ever have these type of dreams, but I did, and it seemed so real. And the lion was arrayed with a gold crown.
Hallelujah.
And I looked at him, and he like said, follow me, boy. And he made a little journey down New Market Road, and before I knew it, he was gone. But I knew what he was getting at. I knew what the dream was and what the vision meant. So is there not a cause to sell out to the gospel of Jesus Christ? Is there not a cause to surrender our life and be of no reputation for the mighty lion from the tribe of Judah? There's a cause, I say today. There's a cause.
Hallelujah.
Amen?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Read me real quick. I'm not going to keep you long, I promise. At least about 10. I'm just playing. Turn to the book of Philippians real quick. Just real quick. I'm just going to read something. I don't even think I'm going to teach really, but just maybe exhort a little bit or preach a little bit. So by all means, you know, let the mighty lion of Judah have his way in our town.
Yes.
By all means.
Yes, Lord God.
Please. I'm just going to share something real brief with you, and you know, if it carries over into next week or whatever. I don't, you know. You know, Pastor said, you might preach. When I said, that's fine, Pastor, but I preach, you know. Just, you know, if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. The biggest thing is for the Holy Ghost to have His way in His church. And I was reading Philippians, and I read something in the first chapter that I can't go into yet. Maybe I will one of these days. That really caused my heart to burn, and I shared it with one or two people. Actually, I emailed two people and shared with them that I went over a portion of Scripture, and my heart began to burn, and I began to weep. And I shared that with two people. There's another portion of Scripture in Philippians in chapter 3 that also it caused my heart to burn. And not burn literally, but just to feel something in the Scripture just going, looking at me and staring me in the face and just stirring something up in me. And it was Philippians chapter 3. And I've heard pastor minister on this many a times. And Philippians is a book that it's one of the first books I meditated when I heard the meditation series from Dave Roberson. I probably went through it several hundred times. I left it alone, but just about 2 weeks ago, I really, you might think I'm a little crazy, but I actually feel I asked Jesus. I said, Lord, where would you have me dwell? What pasture would you have me to dwell in, Lord? And I really felt in my heart. And I called Pastor and I asked him these questions. I said, Pastor, is this the way that it works? Is this the way, do you know where you're supposed to? He said, yeah, Homer, I get the same feeling. So I know he led me in Philippians and Colossians for a reason. And I've been there for the last week and a half along with Isaiah. And I read a portion of scripture in chapter 1 that I can't go into, but chapter 3, verse 11 began to burn in me, 12 and 13. And of course, Paul writes, if by any means, chapter 3, verse 11, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Now you got to bear with me here. Not that I have already, and again, I read New King James, not King James, but I use the King James in a linear. So not that I am already attained or I'm already perfected. But this is what really caught my mind and caught my spirit. But I press on. That I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. But one thing, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to the things which are ahead. Again, he said, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Verse 15. Therefore, basically according to what I just said, therefore let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. What burned in my heart is when Paul said, but I press on. I read it, went over it again, and again I began to weep again and again. It's just been happening a lot to me when I go through certain portions of scripture. It just burns in me. It comes to life in me. And then there's a weeping behind it. Not a sad weeping, but a rejoicing weeping. That something that God's trying to relate to me. Something that I need. And I just read that. He said, but I press on. But I press on. I looked up that word press, and I've heard Pastor give us a definition of it many a times. But in the Greek, when I looked it up, basically it says, I press on violently. I violently press on. And I got to thinking when Paul wrote this book in Philippians, and I got to thinking the things sometimes that we go through in life as believers, the sufferings of Christ, the trials and the tribulations. But Paul wrote, but I press on. He said, but I press on violently. That's the key. He said, I press on violently. And let me tell you, we have to press on in a violent manner, because our adversary, he does not play by the rules. He's unfair, and if he had his way, we would all be wiped out from the face of this earth. So there's a passion there in Philippians that the apostles had that I'm longing for. There's a mind that the apostles and disciples had, a mind and a passion that they had that I want. There's even a passion that the Christ had that I want. A mind that He had. And at first I thought, when Paul said, let this mind be also in me, that's also in Christ Jesus. Well, how can Christ Jesus have the mind of Christ Jesus? So it must mean something else in the book of Philippians telling me that I need this kind of mind. He said, Paul, be like-minded like me. He told Christ to be like-minded. Well, how can Christ have the mind of Christ? So it must mean something else in the book of Philippians that me and you are to strive after. And I read it, and I wept, and I read it, and I wept, and I was burning inside of me. I sing, Lord, Paul made a spectacular, plain, simple statement. He said, but I press on violently. Nothing stops me. Nothing consumes me. I make it through every trial. I make it through every tribulation because I press on violently. He also told us to have the mind of Christ. Now, Christ also is a man. He pressed on violently. When? What at the Garden of Gethsemane? Now, we got to know what pressing on violently means. It doesn't mean to be stubborn to an extent without the word. That's not pressing on violently. That's ignorance. Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane at the place of crushing, what did he pray? Let this cup be not, yet not my will, but your will. And then what did he do when he prayed? I'm getting ahead of the Holy Ghost. What did Christ do at that critical moment of his life? Paul said, I press on violently. He said, Christ also had the same mind. So what did Christ do in the moment of trial and tribulation in the Garden of Gethsemane? What did he do? He prayed for an hour. He knew how to press on violently. Pressing on violently means nothing more than, we got five limbs in this church, and I'll die. And I'll die believing that that is our way to revival. The fasting limb, the meditation limb, tongues. What am I leaving out, Pastor? Worship and meditation. Did I say that? That, my friend, is how we press, or that is how we press on violently. Jesus, at the moment when he could have denied, he could have rejected the plan of God, but he pressed on violently by getting on his knees and praying and being strengthened by the Almighty God through angels. Paul said the same thing, I press on violently. Well, he received the marks of the Jews several times. Shipwrecked, hungry, stoned, nakedness, and pearl from his brothers, and pearl from countrymen, and pearl from everybody. He said, I press on violently. I do not stop. He had a passion that I want. He had a desire and a zeal that I want and that I can attain to. He said, Christ Jesus pressed on violently. Where? At the Garden of Gethsemane. He got on his knees and he overcame the trial of his life. Why? Because he pressed on violently. At the moment when Satan came and withstood him to his face, he got on his knees. And I'm sure he worshipped the Father and received the strength that he needed to make it through this trial and tribulation of his life. The Christ, as a man, pressed on violently. Paul, as the greatest man other than the Christ, he said, I press on violently with a vengeance. I do not stop. I want that mind and I want that passion. And we can attain to it through the five limbs that we know. Somebody gave me a series a couple of Sundays ago, and they said, the Lord told me to give this to you. And I told him that I was going to hear this series, and I heard it. After the first CD that I heard, I put the series away. Because what I heard, now the person, they did hear God. By all means, I'm going to get to that in a little bit. Now the person, they did hear God. But what God wanted that person to relay to me was on the very cover of the series of the tapes. Because when I heard the first CD, right off the bat, I heard two or three scriptures way out of context. Way out of context. Good man. I'm not going to say his name. Good man. You know, he has a good, decent show on TV. But the five CDs inside that series is not what God wanted me to know. The series, the name of the series was Knowing God. There was something still up to 2 weeks ago that I need to incorporate more and more and more in my life. And that is the limb of worship. I'm telling you, my friends, to fulfill what the Almighty God would have us to do, we have to press on extremely violently. Our adversary is unfair. He's legit. He's consistent and persistent. But if I, along with you, if we press on violently, Barbara, we will always win. There's a passion and a hunger that Paul had. This man walked in the mind of Christ. How do you know? Because he had a choice to depart and be with Christ, which is greater. But you know he walked with Christ bosom to bosom because he stayed. He could have entered the glories of heaven, Barbara, and seen the Creator, the Master, the Messiah, the risen Savior. Yet he chose, walking in the mind of Christ, to stay and to benefit the body of Christ. He pressed on violently, fulfilling everything that the Lamb of God would have him to do. And that passion did something in me. His desire did something in me. He said, I press on violently. He wasn't passive. He said, I press on violently. There's a prize, a call that I'm to attain, and I'm going to attain it. I'm going to press on violently. I will not stop. I will not stop. I've been called to encounter the Lamb of God. I've been called to display his love and his power on earth. I will press on in a violent manner. I will not stop. I will not be defeated. I will have a passion that's second to none for this man named Jesus Christ. That same passion is there for me. In fact, in verse 15 he said, therefore, in context of what I'm teaching you, therefore, Let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. What mind, Paul? What mind do you want me to have? I want you to have a mind that presses on violently, never, ever ceasing, fulfilling what Jesus Christ would have you to do. Have this mind in you also, like I had it, like the Christ had it. Pursue Him in a violent manner. Be strong and courageous. Wait on Him. Bind together with Him. The end result is fulfilling all He would have me and you to do. We are to pursue the Lamb in a violent, violent manner. We need Him. We want Him. And we will encounter Him. I bought a book a couple of weeks ago. I'm after this passion, Pastor. I'm after it. To lay down my life, to make myself of no reputation, to finish the work of Christ, not regarding my own life. I want it. I'm not there. I'm touching it, but I want it, and I'm going to achieve it. I will press on violently. I will press on. I won't stop. I will not stop. I will not stop. I will not stop. There's a place that I'm after that the 11 walked in. And I bought this book 2 weeks ago, and I want to read you something. It's called The Book of the Martyrs. And I read this, and I shared it with Ralph. This is what me and you are going to attain. This is what we're after. This kind of passion. This kind of zeal. This kind of want to in our life. This is what we're after. And this is what we're going to find if we press on violently. Regarding Andrew, this is what he said. It's about 2 or 3 paragraphs. Listen carefully. It's The Book of the Martyrs. One of the best books I've ever read. I think the only book I've ever read. Listen to this carefully. Now, this is what we're after. This is the end result. What I'm going to read to you is the end result of pressing on in a violent manner. I won't stop, Jesus. Come hell or high water, I have an inheritance. No weapon formed against me shall prosper, Jesus. I will press on violently no matter what happens, no matter what sufferings I have to go through. I will press on in a violent manner, Jesus. I will press on. I'll walk in the mind of Paul, and I'll walk in your mind with the mind that says, I will never stop from pursuing you, Christ Jesus.
Hallelujah.
This is concerning the death of Andrew. Listen carefully. This is what I'm after, this passion right here along with you. We're after this kind of passion. Read now. Listen carefully. Listen carefully. This is what we're after. While Andrew's eventual missionary travels may have taken him as far north as southern Russia and included time around Ephesus with John, he likely ended up on the Greek peninsula in the city of Patros. There he began to relate to individuals and introduce to them the Savior. Among the converts was a woman named Maximilla, the wife of a high Roman official, a governor named Arrigenius, who was so angry at his wife's conversion that he threatened Andrew with death by crucifixion, or after the passion, or after this heart were pressing on violently. He threatened Andrew with death by crucifixion. To this, Andrew replied. Listen to this now. Listen to this. This is what we're after. This kind of heart where nothing else matters to me and you but encountering this man named Jesus Christ. Listen to what Andrew's response was to this. He said, be quiet, basically, or I'm going to crucify you. Listen to this. He said, had I feared the death of the cross, I should not have preached the majesty and gloriousness of Christ. Andrew was arrested and tried, threatened, scourged, and tortured. He remained steadfast. It is said that the judge pleaded with Andrew not to cast aside his life. And the old apostle responded with equal passion, urging the judge to cast not aside his own soul. Unwilling to recant his faith in Christ, Andrew was tied to an X-shaped cross to die a slow and painful death. This particular cross is still called St. Andrew's Cross. One source says that when Andrew came near the cross, listen to this. This is what we're after, man. This is the result of pressing on violently for this man named Jesus Christ. One source says that when Andrew came near the cross, he said, "Oh, beloved cross, I have greatly longed for thee. I rejoice to see thee erected here. I come to thee with a peaceful conscience and with cheerfulness, desire that I, who am a disciple of him who hung on the cross, may also be crucified. The nearer I come to the cross, the nearer I come to God. And the farther I am from the cross, the farther I remain from God." Andrew hung for 3 days on the cross. During this time, Pastor, he taught the people who stood near him, saying such things as, "I thank my Lord Jesus Christ that he, having used me for a time as an ambassador, now permits me to have this body, that I, through a good confession, may obtain everlasting grace and mercy. Remain steadfast in the word," he said, "and in the doctrine of the Lord, which you have received, instructing one another that you may dwell with God in eternity and receive the fruit of promises." It says only heaven knows the thousands and thousands of people that he reached with his confession and with his testimony. There's a place that I have not touched yet in Christ Jesus that I will touch. I'm not after being a martyr. If that ever comes to be the case, and so be it, but that's not what I'm after. I'm after the passion that these 11 men who joyed to hang on a cross upside down and to preach the gospel of peace and love for 3 days as he was tortured alive. I'm after that heart. I'm after that mind that presses on violently, never ceasing, never stopping pursuing the cross of Jesus Christ. I'm after that passion that Jesus the man had at the Garden of Gethsemane, where he knelt down at a critical time of his life. He knelt down and he prayed and received strength from the Father and drank from the cup. So we all should be after, my friends, is this mind that also Christ Jesus had, a mind that never ceased, a mind that never stopped, a mind that pursued God's plan with a vengeance and with violence. My friends, we cannot afford to stop. We cannot afford to stop, and we will not stop. We're pressing forward to the goal for the prize of the outward call of God in Christ Jesus. My friends, we are to press on in a violent manner. In a violent, violent manner. Our adversary does not play by the rules. He would have us consumed and devoured if he had his way. What we're after, not everybody's after. Jesus Christ is the reason that we live. He is the reason why we live. We press on, regardless of situations, regardless of trials and tribulations. We press on in a violent manner. We do not stop. When persecution increases, we press on violently. When trials increase, we press on violently. When tribulations increase, we press on violently. When there's famine in the land, we press on violently. When there's drought in the land, we press on in a violent manner. We always win, my friends. We always win. We'll continue to win as long as we keep Christ Jesus the absolute center of our lives, Barbara. We're called to press on violently, Miss Candy, pursuing one mind that Paul said, "You that are mature, you should have this mind." What mind, Paul, am I supposed to have? A mind that never, ever stops. A mind that pursues Christ in a violent, powerful, passionate manner. Sufferings are going to come. We don't know what the sufferings of Christ are yet. At least I don't think we do. They're going to come. They're going to come. Therefore, we press on in a violent manner. How do you press on in a violent manner, Pastor Homer? By lifting up your hands, by pushing back meals, by letting the scriptures consume you, by self-edification, by confession of His Word, never ceasing, never inconsistent, pressing on in a violent manner. Lord Jesus, come hell or high water, come accusation or suggestion from the enemy, I will baptize my heart. I'll walk in Your mind. I will not quit. I press on in a violent manner. Regardless of the situation, I press on violently. I've been created. I've been born for a purpose, Lord. And that purpose is to encounter You, to give You all that I've got, to make myself of no reputation. Fulfilling Your work regarding my life is nothing. Counted at all but dung. Lord Jesus, I will find You. I will encounter You regardless, I will encounter You, Jesus. It doesn't matter, Lord. I will pursue You in a violent manner. Jesus faced accusation. He faced pressure. When the time of pressure and trial and tribulation from Satan, He got on His knees and worshiped the Father and fulfilled the plan of the Almighty God in his life. He didn't do it by being... Now, being stubborn is good to an extent, but you can't be stubborn outside of rubbing shoulders with Jesus Christ. It's almost an ignorant thing. But if you rub shoulders with Him and you spend time in His bosom, my friend, you're pressing on in a violent manner. I want Him, my friends, more than I ever have. I want You more than I ever have. You know, Paul said, the greatest man of God under Christ, he said, I long for my brethren with the affection of Christ. And these last 2 weeks I've spoken to people that I've never spoken to hardly. I've talked to people. Somebody called me today and prayed for me on the phone. I talked to a couple of individuals today, and that's the way it should be, embracing each other. Paul said, the mighty reviler said, I long for you in the affection of Christ. He said, therefore, my beloved, and long for brethren. We're going to press forward in a violent manner, developing a passion inside of us that regardless of what tomorrow holds, we'll pursue in a violent manner, encountering this man named Jesus Christ, being baptized by Him, receiving our inheritance. He's the reason that we live. The 11 counted it an honor. He said, oh cross, how I long for thee. Preached the gospel upside down for 3 days. I'm not after being a martyr. I could think of a couple of ways I'd rather die than being hung upside down on a cross. I could tell you that right now. I'm not after that. But I'm after the passion that he had, willing to lay it all down. The passion that Christ had, laying it all down for the love of the brethren. That's what I'm after. And I've learned these what I haven't learned in 16 years, I've learned in the last 2 or 3 weeks. That you are my brothers and my sisters. And that I'm to long for you and love you like Christ Jesus loved the church. Paul had a choice to depart and be with Christ, which was far better, but he stayed here for our benefit because he walked in the mind of Christ and loved the people. We're a small bunch for right now, but I'm telling you, there's power in communication. There's power in fellowship. There's power in hanging out with each other. There's power in this. And I've learned in these last closing words that I've seen something increase in my life when I began to obey Jesus Christ, to obey and to call and to fellowship with my brothers more and more. I've seen an increase in my life in a couple of areas. I'm going to press on violently, making myself of no reputation, finishing the work of Christ, regarding my life as nothing, to the best that I can now. We're to walk in the mind of Christ, pressing on in a violent manner, submitting to Him. And a fruit out of submitting to Him is submitting to you. A fruit out of loving Him is loving you. If ever I'm going to lay my hands on a cancer victim, Pastor, I got to embrace you, man, as my brother and my sister. We've got to embrace each other. If you don't believe me, read the book of Acts, my friends. I walked in isolation for 15 years, man. But we win because we press on violently. He said, I long for you, brethren, in the affections of Christ. He walked in the mind of Christ. He walked with that mindset that said, I'll never stop. I got one purpose in this life, and that's to encounter Him, whatever the cost. This man named Jesus Christ is why we live. No other reason. It's to encounter the precious, holy Lamb of God, to lay down our life, to take up our cross and to follow Him daily. His stripes are powerful. And if you can comprehend what those stripes did for you, you will never ever be the same. They healed me spirit, soul, and body. The 39 lashes of freedom on His back were so I, as a son, would live in complete freedom and healing from anything this perverted world said I had to walk in. Those stripes are precious. They were for me and they were for you. We need not walk in isolation. We need not walk in offense at all. At all. He said, but I press on. The Judaizers wanted Him dead because of His confession and what He stood for. All that we need is Jesus Christ. And an understanding of Calvary. Yes, our name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, but my God, my friends, my brothers and sisters, we were healed from everything, from isolation, from rejection, from depression, from oppression, from being lonely, from being full of anxiety. We were healed. When we reviled, we got the power through His stripes not to revile back. When we're suffering for Him, we have the power through His stripes to commit to Him who judges righteously. We have that power through the rebirth. We have that power through the rebirth. I will press on in a violent manner. I will press on in a violent manner along right with you, right by our side. Fulfilling what the precious Lamb of God would have me to do. There's so many teenagers in this town that are so hungry for Jesus. So hungry, and I'm telling you, we're taking them in slowly into home and we're discipling them. Get them filled with the Holy Ghost. Praying in tongues. We got The website's almost up. I got it done for $10 a year. $10 a year. It's called healedbyhisstripes.net. Friday, it will be up and going. You got a picture of me and this gorgeous lady that I met the other day. Where's she at? What's going to go on there? I don't know quite yet. It's got a picture on there in the Bible so far. But I got it for $10 for the year. These kids are getting hungry. They're getting hungry and they need to be discipled. By His stripes, we have been healed. We can't be passive in this walk. He said, I press on violently. Let this mind also be in you. What mind, Paul? Press on. Press on. The end result of us pressing on is to behold the precious Lamb of God. But from now to then, He's creeping down New Market Road and He wants to manifest His glory in this town.
Hallelujah. Glory.
So our day's coming where we encounter Him face to face. But He wants to flex His muscle in this town and touch every woman, man, boy, and girl with the power of His might. My friend, the strong arm of the Lord has been revealed. We have been born again, adorned with beauty internally. And no weapon formed against me and you shall ever prosper. Ever, never, ever. This is a heritage of the servants of the Lord. And their righteousness is from me. Our pastor has taught us extremely well. There's 5 steps, and I thank God for that person that gave me the CDs. Pastor, we're trying to say you can't learn from anybody else, no, but a statement Pastor said a while back, I didn't agree with it at the time, but now I'll swear by it. I won't give, I won't serve under a pastor that doesn't pray in the Holy Spirit. I won't do it. Because their errors will be many as far as the scriptures go. I won't do it. I won't. Sorry. I won't do it. There's one teacher on the face of this earth, and His name is the Holy Spirit. Allos. Identical to Jesus Christ. John 15. He said, another one, Allos, will come just like me. No separation whatsoever. Through Him. Through His edification, exhortation, and His comfort. And through our willingness and through our zeal, we press on violently. We want that lion to make a left off New Market, come down Nassau, and just live here. To consume every individual on the face of this earth and town.
Hallelujah.
We cannot stop. We cannot cease. Let's make ourselves of no reputation. Fulfilling the work of Christ, regarding our life as nothing. I will encounter you today, Christ Jesus, no matter what, and baptize my heart and soul with all that you are, through worship, through tongues, through fasting, through meditation. Those limbs are there for me and you, and when we incorporate them on a consistent basis, we're pressing on in a violent manner. We can't press on outside of those limbs. We won't go very far. But if we incorporate what the Holy Ghost would have for us, I'm telling you, that passion that the 11 had, that surrender and love that they had, the surrender and the love that the Christ walked in, we will have the same mind that He had if we continue and press forward to what the Almighty God has created me and you for. And that is to encounter Christ Jesus. Out of that encounter flows the miracles and the river from heaven But we first got to make Him first and foremost in our life, beholding the beauty of the Lord, gazing upon His majesty and His splendor, having our heart baptized with all that He is. The end of 27 says, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart." Wait, I say, on the Lord. That wait doesn't mean what you think it means. It doesn't say to wait like this, waiting for Him to come. It says, no, bind together with the Lord. Bind together as one with Him. How do I bind together with the Lord as one? By beholding His face every single day of my life. My heart becomes one with Him as I sit there in His presence, worshiping His holy name. Everything that He is, I receive in my heart, and I'm bound together with Him, and my heart is strengthened. It's not a passive weight. It's a powerful weight. Bind together with the Lamb of God, and your heart will be overly saturated. That, my friends, is what we're looking for. An oversaturation where it runs out of us in abundance, and where society around us can feel the anointing of the precious Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Pastor.
Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Father, we just worship You for every good word that we receive. Won't you just lift hands and just magnify Him for it? Father, we just glorify You and thank You for it, and receive it with thanksgiving. This is the desire of our heart. Lord, we thank You that no matter who is speaking up here, Lord, when we hear Your mind, we receive the call to come forward, and we worship You with it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I haven't heard the recent teachings by Gary, but I would encourage all of you to tune into that website as well. Tim was telling me today, and it's so amazing that Homer's sharing this with us. And if you'll just notice the mind of Christ, He seems to be, over the last several months, you know, you would think that you'd say, well, that would be, your natural mind would think, well, the order of things around here would be to always encourage you to do the things that you know to do. But there seems to be an underscoring, like never before in the last several months, several teachings, do the message. Do the message. And I think that's what Tim was saying. Gary has been really teaching on, because there was a prophecy that came across or came forward. It's been a while now, but maybe not so long ago. And it came out of the prayer center in Tulsa. And many of you will remember it. But the Lord said, the fast are going to go faster, and the slow are going to go slower. And there is a real separation in the body of Christ. And it's a working of the Lord. It's the ones that are choosing, if they're choosing to do what they know to do, there will be an escalation. And also, we know this. The closer we get, I know there was a prophecy that the Lord gave us not long ago and said, the closer we get to the center of this thing, the harder the battles, but the greater the victories. And you, I thank God for every one of you that have followed us as we followed Christ, and pray for us. The enemy, as you well know, stops at nothing. He stops at nothing. He will go to anything that he can and any member of the family that is of a weak link and try to get you to get your attention on that. But I don't know how many times in this walk that I've had to come to that river, look up, and out of intimacy, not out of stubbornness of a human sort, but out of that intimacy, and say, I want you to know again, I'm not stopping here. And many times we could stop and not even know we stopped, because we get our attention off on that issue, and that becomes the part of our life that we're living around instead of living around that. And we've got to continue to live in that living in Him to keep going forward. And that's the way that we stay violent. And I mean, that was wonderful. Hallelujah. Praise God. We've got to continue to do, because I want to stay with the fast bunch. Because He is that lion. He's here. Hallelujah. And I receive Him to full measure. Praise God. We are going to be so glad of this revival. Glory to God. Hallelujah. How many of you will agree with me tonight for just miracles? The miracle offerings. Hallelujah. God has been supplying around here against all odds. And He just continues to meet our needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So again, we lift up our faith. And Father, we thank You that You've come in completeness. And we thank You for the beginning and the end of all things. And I thank You, Father, that You have given us a heart. A heart, Lord, likened to Yours. And if there's anything else in this heart that's lacking, You'll come and show it to us. You'll reveal the parts of us. But right now our heart is lifted up in thanking You, because You're able to make all grace abound towards us, so that we have all sufficiency in all things, are able to abound into every good work. And so I receive with thanksgiving that measure of faith that, Lord, that You place in our hearts to give tonight. And we receive and thank You in abundance for what we're about to receive, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you for coming. You'll be free to bring this down, and then you can consider yourself dismissed. We'll see many of you Friday night.